Spike, this one's for you. It's called Two Jessica Fletchers. So there I am, helping Peggy and Penny, her sister, with Christie's things. It's appropriately weird. I don't know what Peggy's feeling, so whatever she wants is fine. Penny seems nice and level-headed, which helps. I spent a day and a half getting photos up on Facebook Marketplace, setting up a memorial website with RSVPs and dealing with jackets and belongings. Standard helpful stuff. Then Penny's leaving and asks me to come by after 9 to drop off some extras, flyers, lists, odds and ends. Penny wants the memorial brochure I made because it's so beautiful. It isn't, but okay. As I pull everything out, they both look at me like I have 3 heads. You really put a lot of work into this, they say. I'm like, it's what I can do to help. Peggy wants more things posted online, fine. Penny gives me some candy. I thank her and start to leave, only to be stopped by Peggy and directed to the living room so we can talk. The room is full of stuff. Then it gets weirder. First, Penny seems super interested in what I did that day. Not how was your day, but a minute-by-minute accounting. Since I'd had sex, worked on their stuff, then more sex, because I was sad, I decided not to share that and said something more PC. This is followed by a gift of an ancient Epson print ink cartridge Christy had lying around. Can I use it? No. Do I have a printer? Well, yes, but it's black and white for Amazon returns. Humph, says Peggy. Then she launches into how she simply must pay me for the printing. This is a woman who is selling her daughter's belongings online. She wants to pay for things she didn't request and that were honestly embarrassingly expensive. So no, you didn't ask. I just did it. I can't take your money. Double humph from both. Then weird questions about Photoshop. They show me Penny's artwork. It's good. And I finally remember Christy mentioning that she has an aunt who paints. Long story about computer setup and iCloud confusion. Penny suddenly remembers that she must have one of those flyers. Seeing an opportunity to get out, I scramble to the kitchen to get them. Peggy's dealing with DJ stuff for the memorial. Somehow, we get on to how she will feel once Penny does go, and she informs me that Junior will start staying here after that. Then she gets steely-eyed. I will be here till this is settled. How can I not? I look around. Well, it looks good. You did an amazing job. It's already 3/4 of the way packed up. Again, double steely eye. Till this is finished and settled. I'm missing something. Back to the living room for flyers. I try handing Penny one and then get, you were out drinking with her the night of her accident. Well, no, I mean, we'd lost touch. I felt like we were starting to come back together. You just feel so guilty. That's why you're doing all this. Still, I don't get it. It's hard to live with people as adults. Sometimes you need space. Like I said, I felt like we were starting to reconnect. I pick up my folder to leave, make it to the landing, and suddenly Penny's there with Peggy swooping in. Penny says, I was so surprised you didn't lose it when you saw it was lost. Since this little play was for my benefit, I wait. Peggy begins this inane story about going to the bank, getting a check, the big check, coming home with it, how it was between papers and fell on the floor where she didn't see it, but then it was found. After this gripping tale, I say, well, great, so you found it. They're both staring at me like I should react like I'm hearing some unbelievable headline rather than a story about a found check. Turning to go, I'm called back by a gripping tale of $14,000 that lives in a brown envelope and has apparently been not found. This money was integral to Christie's massage business and is for sure real. Christie had been telling tales of this money and her fear that Tommy, who was already stealing from her, see the incident where he did not give her change from the corner store, would get his greedy gambling mitts on it. To be safe, she'd move the envelope to O'Looney's to leave in their safe, far from Tommy's grasping hands. So the O'Looney guys have seen an envelope, enough for us all to be sure it's full of $14,000. And if not found, there's only one thing that could have happened. Tommy finally got it. Having been on the other side of Christie's, what I have is simply bigger, more important, and must be respected unconditionally routine. I'm not sure Tommy's getting a fair shake. Years ago, Christie asked me to pick her up from the airport in her car during work hours. She missed 3 flights, turning my lunch break into an all-afternoon ordeal that unimpressed my boss. Later, when I had a trip and declined her offer to drive me, I discovered that the act of offering had indebted me as if she'd actually done it. And because now her feelings were blemished, I had to pay her back and apologize for declining. She invited me to her therapist to properly sort this out. The therapist was not a trained psychologist, just a personal friend who agreed with her often. Upon my refusal, I was forgiven because I was such a fool to miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime. Thinking of this, I wonder how much this tale of terrible Tommy could be true. Foolishly, I enter the trap. Why would she keep it here if stuff is being stolen? Where did she put it? How can you be sure of the amount? Are you saying she had it that night? Eyes roll and head shakes. I'm a fool. Any questions are answered by the fact that the Alunis guy saw an envelope. Of course, no one has asked Tommy about it. He obviously took it. Until it was found, then it would be decided if it had been stolen. Peggy then asked me what I would have said if I had known about the brown envelope. Before I could start talking, she was speaking my sentiment as someone had written those words down somewhere. It was odd. She was correct. I would have demanded it be removed from the house. Taking this moment of synergy, I flee. Okay, bye. Yes, I'll look at the other things tonight. I'm going to make all of them $500. Change them to whatever you want, Peggy. As I exit, I see Junior and his family closing up Alunis. Thinking I can tell them about helping with the garbage, which is filling the apartment. While we've never known each other well, we always seem to enjoy each other. Not tonight. He's curt, looking over my head. I explain I want to help. He angrily punches my phone into his phone, and before I can get mine out, hangs up stating, "Now you have my number," and stomps off. All of that took a while to sink in, but Penny, who was not asking me a question, but simply telling me what the sleuths had discovered, had rewritten reality. I was only helping due to guilt from drinking with Christie the night of her accident. I also apparently magically entered the apartment, stole the big check, then my old Achilles heel, guilt, drove me to return it when it was found. This was news to me. Seeing that there appeared to be only one way to prove I'm not guilty of these crimes, I've withdrawn all my help and attendance at the memorial. Please, don't stand up for me. If any of this seems to be true to you, speaking will only give it credence. I was quite upset for a day or so, but I have bigger fish to fry and no time for all that crazy. I did want to share my side with you. I hope you can see it as well.